definitely seems to be have created a theme for this morning with Brother Layton sharing on just interactions with his son, and also I just, yeah, there's just a, it seems to be a strong emphasis on family this morning. And I just, I take that as a very strong confirmation from the Lord that he is wanting all of us to receive a message. Several years ago, on a pastor's retreat, and I'm giving you a bit of an inside scoop as to what goes on at our retreats, we sat down and proceeded to make a spreadsheet of all the members in our church and their children and all the different birth dates. And since then, Pastor Jake has been keeping that spreadsheet up to date, and we noticed something this a couple months ago. I think it was in January. Pastor Jake just sent out this demographic to us, and this is what we saw with the youth. If you notice, there is a, you can see different age brackets, 20 to 16, 15 to 11, 10 to 6, and you see a spike from 0 to 5. Now those are the, that's the number that we have of children 5 and under currently. This does not include all of the ladies that are expecting, my wife being one of them. And there is a tsunami of children that is about to hit, that is currently hitting Berea, and we are just at the base of this. And I want all of us to realize this morning that these children, our church, has been called to minister to these children. And so you already hear there's some crying, there's a little bit of little voices around. I want you to know that is God calling out, saying, minister to this one. Minister to this little one. You know, before I had kids, I thought parenting was hard. I realized that there's diapers, there's long nights, there's difficult meals. Your schedule is sort of forced to slow down. You have plans to get a certain thing done. You have plans to fix this certain thing around the house. The lawnmower blades need to be changed. I need to do a little bit of siding repair. I need to fix this one spindle on the porch. And all of those little things that, not that big of a deal, I'll get it done in half hour or so, it's not that big of a deal, suddenly turns into an ordeal when you have little ones running around. But that's just part of normal parenting. Every parent has to go through that. We are called to something higher than that. And that's what I'm going to call biblical parenting. You know, in preparing for this message, I have been greatly convicted. My view of children has changed. My view of children has changed, and I realize that a quote from John Maxwell is, how you view things is how you do things. I think there's a lot of truth in that statement. How I view my children is how I'm going to raise my children. So my view of children has changed. But secondly, what I parent out of has changed as well. Because I realize that if I want to parent my child in a biblical way, I need to parent out of something or someone other than myself. So I want to go through three pillars of biblical parenting. And these pillars I've laid out, starting with who I am, secondly, who my child is, and thirdly, who God is. And I want to quickly say that this message is not just for the one who is a parent. This message, like I just laid out in that demographic, these children are relevant to the body. We are all called to minister to the children that God has entrusted to us. And while parents have the biggest role, the biggest part to play in ministering to that child, it goes beyond the parent. Other adults that interact with that child, their friends that they meet at church, they have sleepovers. There's other people that aren't necessarily parents within this body that have an influence on these children. So I trust that all of our views of children will be biblically accurate. So starting with the first pillar, who I am. Biblical parenting does not start with the child. Biblical parenting starts with me. It starts with you. Knowing your kids is important, but knowing your own identity is more important. You need to understand, I need to understand my humanness, my brokenness, how I tend to seek my own comfort, my own pleasantries. And I feel justified in them. I want to feel justified in them. And that I actually deserve everything that is good and pleasant in this life, and anything that is difficult, anything that is trying, I don't deserve that. I mean, I'm reasonable. I'm a nice person. I have morals. I'm not mean to people. I don't deserve this difficulty, wherever it's coming from. I don't deserve that in my life. I follow the law of the land, or at least much better than what the rest of society does. I'm good. Do you see how we try to make our own law to make ourselves feel righteous? We try to use our own measuring stick. This self-righteous justification comes from a heart that has fallen. It's this selfish heart that Paul is referring to in Ephesians when he writes, "You were dead in your trespasses and sins." Sin, it's what we want for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. That's our identity. And there is no way for us to change our identity. There is only one that can give us a new identity. And the only thing that would grant, that would move a holy and righteous, just God to grant such a vile sinner a new identity is grace, His bountiful grace. Grace is the only thing that stands between us and an eternity of darkness and loss. Grace is that which we cannot earn, but what we so desperately need. And it only comes from God. So the first step in understanding biblical parenting is to admit the ever-present need for God's grace in our lives in every moment. You might be thinking, yes, I know that. I know that I need grace. I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I'm broken. I know that I'm weak. I know that He is strong. We seem to be so proficient with the idea of grace when it comes to our own lives. But suddenly, when it comes to the lives, applying grace to the lives of those around us, suddenly it just becomes more complicated. We want to quickly forget about that grace, and we want to resort back to the old identity of, I don't deserve this. I shouldn't have to put up with this. When we look at our text in Ephesians 6, you can turn your Bibles there. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. We as adults, we really want our children to really perk up their ears and listen to the first three verses. Listen, children. Listen to what the pastor's about to read. Listen up. This is for you. This is what we don't want our children to miss. It reads, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. We read this passage and we think, children, listen carefully. But what we forget, we don't want to hone too closely in on verse 4. And this is what biblical parenting hinges on. This is instruction for biblical parenting. Fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath. Eugene Peterson, he translates that this way, don't frustrate your children with no-win scenarios. See, biblical parenting doesn't lord authority over its children. Biblical parenting recognizes a responsibility to train and admonish its children in the Lord. That is what my role as a father is to do, to train and admonish my children in the Lord. Many of us think that we know what training and admonishing means. But unless that task of training and admonishing our children doesn't look very difficult and isn't daunting to us, then I fear that we actually don't have a clue what it means. Because Paul calls out, it is to be done in the Lord. It's not to be done on our own strength. If we, in our own strength, in our own logical minds, think that we can do this thing in ourselves, we have completely missed it. See, Paul is pointing to the identity which we are to be parenting out of. In the Lord. And we have to be intentional to be parenting out of that new identity. Think about how God, the Father, parents us. When we mess up, He gives us grace. But grace doesn't just glibly glance over sin. It's sufficient. It is sufficient. Praise Jesus, it's sufficient. But grace also gives instruction and admonition. We have examples of God giving grace to His children. Perhaps one of the greatest acts of grace is this right here. It is out of His grace that we have His word. It is out of His grace that we have this instruction. But not only do we receive instruction, there is also admonition. A good way to understand this word admonition is to look at, you don't have to turn there, but Titus 3:10 uses the same word that's used in Ephesians 6:4. Titus 3:10, reject a divisive man after the first and second admonition. So admonition has this connotation of very, very serious warning. Very serious instruction, very clear, warning someone what will happen if they continue on in this way. And that is what we are to do in the Lord. Now, moving on from who I am to who my child is. We need to understand our child's identity if we are going to parent biblically. We need to understand that there's two parts of this identity that we need to understand about our children. The first is their spiritual state. And we've actually covered already the state of our child. Because remember, when I started with our own identity, we are all prone to sin. And without the grace of God, we are lost. Our child, our children, are lost. That is their spiritual state. But somehow, when we go about parenting, when I go about parenting, I want to quickly forget that my child is much more like me than what I want to admit. And this definitely pertains to personality, yes. But the more serious thing is that my child's spiritual state is much more like me than what I want to own up to. But I want to pretend like it isn't so. And so, to give you an example of this sort of like stepping back from my children's fallen state, a common question that parents will resort to when there is some conflict between the children, after trying to settle a fight, after settling fight after fight after fight all day, and you're finally on the last straw, and they keep on fighting over their toys, you go up to your children and you just ask them, why can't you get along? What's crazy is that we actually think we're going to get a logical answer. Do you actually expect them to lay out like, well, Dad, it's because, see, when Adam and Eve sinned, they ate the fruit, and then humanity fell, and then now that same bend is in my life, and I'm spiritually dead. You're never going to get that answer. But instead, what we need to pay attention to is that just the behavior, forget the words, forget trying to get them to say the right words, the behavior is screaming the words, I'm lost, I'm dead, I'm selfish, I do not have the Holy Spirit dwelling within me. But instead, their answer, at best, will be about the toy that they're fighting over. That's the best answer that you will ever get. And we as parents, the thing that I resort to then is answering this issue, addressing this issue also on the physical, about the toy. And I've completely bypassed the real issue, which is about the heart. Instead, I address like, well, maybe you should just get a different toy and maybe you should just kind of learn to share. I never address the fact that both of you are lost. They don't understand that about themselves. And so when I do address it, it's about the physical. I also come across condescending because I have this air about me that I'm a good parent. I shouldn't have to deal with kids that always fight. And almost removing, like, the kids are left with the impression that I don't know what it's like to fight over something. I don't know what it's like to want something that somebody else has, and I'm jealous for it. They're left with the impression that Dad's just more righteous than I. So that whole parenting interaction that I've just laid out, it was focused on the physical. I gave the impression that I'm undeserving of this unpleasant problem, that I'm self-righteous, and that I'm deserving of only the comfortable. This really sounds like the old identity that I was saved from, not the identity that I've been saved to. But we as parents love to think that we can just have a 10-step plan to figure out how we're going to be successful parents. Just give me 10 steps. That's all I want. And then I'm gonna follow these 10 steps. I'm going to do this formula, and then I will get the results that I want. That's what we want. And the reason that a formula is so attractive is because the old identity, the old man can follow a 10-step plan. The old man can just follow the rules and expect a result. But we're not called to that. We're called to biblical parenting. And we won't even resort to some sort of secular self-help book to get the formula. We'll use God-breathed scripture to develop the formula that we're going to follow. Prime example, Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now most of us are very familiar with this passage. My PowerPoint's lagging behind. It can't keep up with me. But I've seen many parents, and I am prone to do the same. I just want to follow a formula from this scripture and get the result that I want. So parents see that word, train up a child, and we think, okay, I'm going to set up boundaries. I'm going to take them to church every Sunday. We're going to attend prayer meeting because I'm going to go the extra mile. And I'm going to be generous enough to get them a Christian education, okay? And I'm going to make sure that they also go to VBS, every VBS. And when they go old enough, they are going to go to the youth group, okay? Now, all of these are good things. But what happens when a parent just relies on that formula? I'm going to do these 10 steps. And then the child grows up, and suddenly, well, they're an adult now. They've grown old. Why aren't they going to church? Why didn't they go into voluntary service? Why didn't they grow up to marry a Christian spouse? And the parents are left with anger because they expected that I'm going to do this formula. Lord, you said in this scripture, if I train my child up, he's not going to depart. So why is he departing? We expect God to be manipulated by this verse. We want to, as Pastor James has been going through the different postures of relating to God, that following a formula and expecting God to give us the result that we are expecting, that's life over God. Instead, I would like us to view this verse in a different light. And a way we can understand this verse better is Proverbs 6:6 uses that same word, way, as in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. You can see other uses of this verse, of this word. Proverbs 6:6 says, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Proverbs 30:18 uses this word many times. There are three things which are too wonderful for me, yes, four, which I do not understand. The way of an eagle in the air, the way of a serpent on a rock, the way of a ship in the midst of the sea, and the way of a man with a virgin. So you can see that there's different ways. There's unique ways to each one of these animals that Proverbs calls out. The way of an eagle is different from the way of a serpent. The way of a serpent is different than the way of the ant. They each have their unique ways. We need to help our children understand their way. And no two children are alike. Children need help discovering their way. Our children, they are who they are, but they don't know who they are. They just are. To help you get a better understanding of what this means, helping your child discover their way, I want to show you some pictures here. There we go. Oh, well, the pictures are blocked for some reason. But so I have three pictures up there. The first one is a little box that shows some blocks inside the box. It's those blocks with all the lettering and stuff. And it's just my son, my oldest son, he loves to neatly stack those blocks in there so that they all fit efficiently. And then the next picture right beside those blocks is a picture of we have a little toy barn. And in each one of those barn, in that barn, there's different stalls. And he likes to put animals in their own stall. And then that bottom picture, you can see our boots in our mudroom. If you go into our mudroom, most of the time, you will see all the boots just lined up perfectly. Because my oldest son, he loves organization. He can't stand if you put your socks in the hat box. It doesn't belong in there. You cannot throw socks in our hat box. Only hats go in there. And that's a beautiful thing. That's a gift. It's a good gift. But what happens when you have your second son doesn't have that gift of organization? Instead, he has the gift of testing structures, of wanting to see how much things can be manipulated. That's the gift that he has. Now, suddenly, you have two gifts that are very much in conflict. It is my job as a parent to teach both my children, hey, your gifts, your personalities are good. However, as you go through life, you are going to meet other people that don't appreciate your gifts. you're going to realize that there is a world out there that is actually opposed to organization. Much of this world is not organized. This world is slipping into more and more chaos. And that gift is beautiful. It's God-given. But you need to understand that you cannot treasure your gift over people. You cannot do that. And so my children, our children, need to be taught to dance with those things that are within their control, and they can use their gift, but to also dance with those things that are outside of their control, and to not get so discouraged and bitter that they are just done and check out and not exercise their gift altogether. It is this dance that we need to teach our children that I believe Proverbs is saying to train our child in the way that he should go, in the way that he's going to go through life. And yes, because each child is unique and has a different set of gifts, the dance, the way that they are going to go about it, will look differently, which means that your biblical parenting will be different from child to child. Because biblical parenting is not a formula, it's a relationship. It is a horizontal relationship. Biblical parenting is a horizontal relationship that is dictated by a vertical relationship with the Father. And so it starts with the Father. It's the Father. The Father is the relationship by which we can do biblical parenting. So now on to the last pillar, who God is. God is the original parent. He is so much the original parent that even in eternity past and eternity future, just outside of time, he uses parental terms to describe the relationship that he has with himself. You have the Father and the Son. Those are parental terms. This relationship between the Father and the Son is so strong that when Jesus, Emmanuel, with us, was dwelling with us, he told his earthly parents at 12 years old, I must be about my Father's business. It was his connection with the Father that carried him through ministry all the way to the cross, right before which he pleaded with the Father, let this cup pass from me. But here's the strength of the connection. Yet not my will, but as you will. And so we see this strong demonstration of Father and Son relationship. It's divine. Yet when we, vile lawbreakers ourselves, are appointed by the Father to be instruments of his hands in the lives of our children, we get disgusted at the inconvenience. Then we quiet our consciences by telling ourselves that we don't have time, we have more important things to do. And they're good things. We gotta go to work. I gotta provide for my family. I gotta fix this thing. Something just broke down. I gotta fix this. I don't have time to settle the squabble that's going on over here. I need to minister to others. I gotta give to the church. These are all good things. These are all important things. These are all hard things. But biblical parenting is harder than all these things. It's the higher calling. Perhaps this is why the Apostle Paul wrote to both Timothy and Titus that in order for a man to be qualified to be an elder, he must have a well-managed household where the children have been trained well. This doesn't mean that his children are to be perfect, but how he relates to his children will be a good indicator of how he will relate to those God is calling him to under-shepherd. Children are the closest, are the sheep that are closest to us that God has called us to shepherd. Because biblical parenting is disciple making. God has called us all to this. Making disciples is the work that God is all about. So we can either enter into this work that God wants to do in the lives of our children, or we can resort to the old identity and check out. Disciple making with our children isn't just having good times. Good times are good. Good times are a part of disciple making. You know, taking your children on a vacation, spending a Saturday with them, teaching them things, making memories, playing outside. That's most definitely part of disciple making. But the most opportune times of disciple making are the times that our identity in Christ is tested by our children. When one child slaps the other. When it's 10:30 at night and you put your children to bed an hour and a half ago and they're still getting out of bed. When they're kicking and screaming at the grocery store. When they're shouting in church. By the way, when you see a child, when you see a parent taking their child and lifting them up to take them out because they're being too loud, say a prayer for that parent. Because like I just laid out, that parent is about to enter into a very opportune time for disciple making. That is the time when God wants to demonstrate his grace into that child's life. And he is going to do it through the instruction and admonition that that parent has been called to give the child. I need those prayers. A sure way to know whether you are parenting, whether I'm parenting from my old identity or my identity in Christ, is to think about what you have in your mind when you're about to address a difficult situation that has come up with your kids. What's going through your mind? Is it, I'm missing out on my sleep? Or they're really putting on, they're making me really embarrassed. They're really being inconvenient. They're slowing me down from getting this thing done. I just need to get this thing done, and then I'll address it, but I need to get this done. It's getting dark. Daylight's wasting. All those things that matter to my old identity. It is not my children's job to make me look good. It is my job to be an instrument in the Father's hand to demonstrate grace in the life of my children. The best way to convey to your child, to my child, is that God wants to do a work in them like he's done in my life. I need to testify to my children of the grace that God has shown me. And when I reveal that to my children, eventually they will realize this person understands the whole, the darkness, the lostness that is within me. This person understands what I need. And at that point, they will open themselves up to you. By God's grace, they will open themselves up to you, and you can give them grace and have a strong connection. And the Holy Spirit can go to work. You know, we sang a song that said that asked for God to give us Christian homes. Christian homes don't happen unless you have Christian parents. If you want godly children, you need to have godly parents. So when we ask God, Lord, give us Christian homes, what we're actually asking is, Lord, do a work in my heart. Refine me. Change me. You can't be thinking, Lord, give me a Christian home, and thinking, he just needs to change my child, and then we could have a Christian home. No. It's the parents that are defining the home. You know, with so much darkness and just twistedness in society, it's no wonder that society has become opposed to children. Like they're some sort of burden. So much so, that even the killing of a child is deemed understandable, reasonable, and preferable. And you might think, well, the church that has been faithful, we will never sanction something like that. Absolutely not. And that's true. I pray that we never do. However, I still see ideas of society's view on children still creeping in. While the older generation had many large families, it seems that the younger generation, my generation, looks at children a little bit like donuts. Donuts are good. They're delicious. When I have one, I enjoy it. But you should only do it in moderation. Don't overdo it. Don't have too many children, because that becomes a deal. You see how different that idea is, that perception of children is, compared to how God describes children in his word, that they are arrows in a quiver that are to be sent out. That's something completely different. So I would love to just give a five-step formula of how to be a biblical parent, but instead, I've already said that biblical parenting is not a formula. But instead, I will give principles. Number one, guiding principles. Know your identity in Christ. If you want to be a biblical parent, identity in Christ is the first and foremost thing. We cannot do anything that is pleasing to God outside of our identity in Christ. And this most definitely includes parenting. Number two, understand your child's personality and their spiritual fallen state. This is vital to being able to disciple your children. And then number three, be an instrument of the Lord's work in the life of your children. And I'm not just talking to parents, like I said. All of us are called to be instruments in the lives of the children that the Lord brings to us. Let's pray. And then, actually, let's stand. I'll pray and then you can be dismissed. Heavenly Father, I just pray, Lord, that we would catch a vision of what you have for children. Lord, I pray that we would not resort to the old identity, the old self-righteous man who wants to lord authority over children and act as if we've got life figured out. God, I pray that you would give us the grace to parent biblically. The grace to understand our children. To have a strong connection that the child will open themselves up for our input to train them in the way that they should go. And Lord, we know that this will only happen by the work of your Holy Spirit in our lives. So God, I pray that as we interact with children, may we first check our own hearts. May we first be refined by you. And out of that, the will of the Father would be done through us in our children. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.